Hi, it's Dr. Butler.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Butler.
Hi. It's Dr. Strauss.
Hello. Okay,
Dr. Strauss.
I see finally someone from.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Therese Forrest from Acessa Biologics.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. A couple more from our team are hopping on right now.
Somebody signed in under clinic. I'm not certain who that may be.
Okay, give it another minute.
Hi, Milton. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I don't see who that person is. It says clinic also. Sending them a note saying, who is this?
Is that me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, who is
Yep.
it?
Yep, that's Dr. Jafar Milton.
Okay.
Here, let me change the name.
Hey. I don't know who else will be joining on this version versus the 8:30 call. Well, someone else just joined.
All right, we'll wait half a
Want
minute here.
to
Go
wait?
ahead and get started.
Dr. Carlson, Dr. Delladysma, Julia Castellanos. Who else?
All
Dr.
right. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started here? Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening for tonight's meeting. We do have a presentation from the group from Acesso Biologics. We will be discussing other things, but why don't we give them, I will give them the floor first. So, Milt, I know you wanted to say a few things and introduce our guest tonight. So I'll turn over the floor to you.
Great. Thank you. So, to all the physicians, I know that, and other providers, I know that we have been relying quite a bit on the Radiant Biologics folks for the Medicare cases that we've ordered biologics from. We are going to be moving in a different direction for that because of certain situations legally that are going on with their manufacturer that we're sort of steering clear of. And in the interim, we have signed an agreement with Acesso Biologics. Whereas Radiant is a distributor, Acesso is a direct manufacturer themselves. And we have an agreement with them. And the folks that are on the call, I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. So, Michael, why don't you just introduce your team?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, everybody, for allowing us the opportunity to join your call. My name is Michael Aquino, and we are Acesso Biologics. I am the CEO and founder of the company. And also on this phone call, we have our Senior Vice President of Operations, Therese Forrest. And we also have one of our clinical directors, Dr. Fadi Jafar. So I'll allow him to speak from the medical side of our presentation. And from the company overview, I can just give you a quick overview of who we are and kind of our backgrounds in the space so you have a better idea of who Accesso Biologics really is. So we have been in this space for about 10 years now, and we have worked from everybody, you know, from your MyMedics to your Organogenesis, your Kerecis, you know, let's see, Novastep, Smith and Nephew. So we have a really good, history in the space. And about 3 years ago, we started to see the market shift in a different way that we felt, wasn't the most approachable way. And I think things could have been done differently from a billing standpoint and obviously a patient care standpoint. So about 2.5 years ago, we started Accesso Biologics. As Milton alluded to, we are not a independent distributor for a larger company. The products that we represent are our own products. I would say the only product that is not currently our own is Sergraf TL, which is one of our triple layer amnion products. And the only reason that is the case is because as we were going through our FDA and TRG submission processes, our tissue bank, Sergenix, which is based out of Scottsdale, allowed us to have exclusivity to one of their products until our products went through the FDA approval side of it, as well as then the Medicare Maris application, which usually takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months to be rewarded our Q code. And then after that, it's usually another 6 months until we're able to be put on the national ASP file. So it's been quite the process, very exciting journey from our standpoint. We're happy to be where we presently are. And as we know, the market itself, I think about one in every 38 adults are affected by a chronic wound. And that is, growing significantly year over year. I think there's going to be a 16-17% increase, over the next 5 years. So we see that there is a significant patient need, and I've had the unfortunate desire or that my family has diabetes do run in it, and I've seen grandparents and parents have amputations and pass away. So I understand how important it is to get these patients, hopefully, to quality of life. And that's, where we are at. So we are, based throughout the entire country. We are on the ASP file for two of our products. We offer a NeoStim dual layer, which is our Q code is, Q4267. And then our triple layer is Sergraf TL, and our Q code is Q4263. And you'll be receiving a packet of all of our onboarding documentations that Milton and his team will send out to you, so you have a good understanding of it. But one thing that sets us apart a little bit differently is we do have our internal hotline for reimbursement and insurance verification. So from that standpoint, we do stand behind our approvals or denials. And part of our agreement is that there is an assurance based model that if there is something that is denied that we have approved, our team will help your billers and your team go through the appeal process And if unfortunately, outside of medical necessity, which something, we can't give you the authorization on, but as far as if it was a billing issue or, the product was not covered, we'll stand behind that and credit your account. We also are seeing coverage for TriWest, Optum, the VA community programs require, a prior authorization, as well as our Medicare Advantage plans. We're seeing United and Humana being approved as well. So it's not just strictly your Medicare insurances that are covering these products. Unfortunately, we do not have any Medicaid coverage at the present moment, but something that we are certainly trying to, get our products covered. And I think another thing that Milton and his team really thought was, something different that sets us apart is that, ultimately within whether it's FDA, TRG submission present moment, or present moment Q codes that we actually have awarded to us, we do have about 19 different products. So an opportunity to stay with one supplier, I think is beneficial for a company, especially as large as yours, because everybody has their own process and procedures, and to be changing those is something different. So we do have a variety of products that are readily available to you. And from that standpoint, I will let Dr. Jafar go over any clinical questions you may have. And if there are any, onboarding questions, Therese or myself would love to be able to answer those for you as well.
Hello, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
So I'm not going to bore you guys to death, but I'm here to so most of the time, people kind of, when they're on these meetings, it's more or less of, what everybody's doing differently, or questions about, patient applications, which patients work best with which products. I don't know what kind of information I can give to you guys, but feel free to ask anything. I've been working with grafts for some time. I am a podiatrist. I know some of you here are MDs as well as nurse practitioners and PAs, correct?
NDAs, yes. MDs, DOs, nurse practitioners, and PAs.
Everything. So wound care, when it comes to wound care, is pretty much straightforward, straight across the board. I don't see much of a difference. I actually work with a lot of the MD and DO counterparts. I actually work I own part of a wound care center. So my job typically with these groups is they come to me and they're like, "Doc, help us go through these charts." I kind of almost like self-audit with them, because we all have all these patients on our list, and it's kind of like, do I or do I not treat this patient, And I think that's one of the biggest concerns that most of the groups I deal with, we kind of sit and have like a board meeting, and it's like, yes or no. And, I'm here for you guys. My cell phone can be provided to anybody. Any questions regarding pretty much anything, I make myself available anytime.
Thank you very much. I know we've had some discussions and we've had some of our colleagues, present their own personal cases. I just want to kind of reiterate to everybody, consider these treatments. They can be a very valuable asset. Those chronic stalled wounds, those wounds that are really failing to heal appropriately. Just anecdotally, I can share that, I've had a patient that I've been following now for close to 2 years, has had this, very fragile skin on the dorsal aspect of his foot, tried, all sorts of treatments, and within three applications of an amniotic graft, he's completely healed. I hope I didn't just jinx myself, because it's been now 2 weeks that he's healed. But I literally tried everything that I could think of, and three applications and completely closed after 2 years. So, really, really think about it, as Dr. Jafar mentioned, it really is about quality of life, what we do. So if you have an opportunity to help somebody with a wound that's really not going anywhere, it's a great thing that we can do to help these folks.
Are you guys applying? Is everybody in the group applying grafts often, or is this just
No,
something that the group is taking on new?
we've been at it probably a little less than a year.
Okay.
And not everyone has, joined, if you will, in that. So our percentage is one of the lowest in the industry right
Okay.
now. We're trying to see about how to stimulate that a little bit when
You
it's
know,
a
we can, I can make myself available if you ever want to, like, with some of the groups that I work with, what they do is kind of like run the list. They'll be like, okay, I have a list of all these patients. I'll review the clinical notes with them sometimes as well. And, basically just give my two cents. Hey, this is a good patient. This is not a good patient. Some people are afraid to apply. It's not they're afraid. They haven't done it before, right? So I know a lot of people, like, you guys are using WoundVac on some of your patients.
Yes.
Yeah, so I apply the skin graft and the wound graft just to help facilitate the healing process. It does speed things up. A lot of times I have these patients that do have some draining wounds. You can fenestrate these grafts, put them on there, put an Adaptic, and still put the Una Boot over it. So just because you're using the graft doesn't mean you have to stop your other treatments as well. So these are things you can keep in mind. Most important thing I will tell you guys, and this is a mistake that a lot of people do make. Is your vascular patients? Are you guys screening your patients, your vasculopaths for your lower extremity? I guess the sacral really doesn't matter, but like lower extremity wise?
I don't think anything is routine. It's really up to the clinician's judgment. I certainly, if I have any vascular wounds that's stalling, I always personally think it's appropriate to do that workup.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no protocol per se that
I think that's a
anybody
good place to
follows.
start too. You guys should have a vascular workup on almost all your patients, because a lot of these vascular ones obviously going to be a lot slower to heal, right? And also, we've seen that in the past, when you do get a chart audit, and if you haven't addressed the vascular status of the patient, then a lot of times you might get a charge back in the future, and that's because they want to make sure the patient has adequate flow before applying these types of things. So, I mean, it should be just part of the workup. Hey, someone comes in, they have a wound, it's delayed, it's 30 days. Standard protocols typically, hey, 30 days, wound's not really improving slightly, getting worse. Okay, we can use these types of grafts to help facilitate the healing process. But at the same time, what else have you guys addressed? Is one of your standard protocols their vascular status? And if it is, it needs to be addressed urgently because then you want to start applying directly afterwards. Another thing, are you guys, when you check their nutritional status, are you checking their vitamins? Are you checking their albumin? Are we replacing their nutrition, right? Are you working with the dietitians if you're in these facilities? A lot of the facilities do have dietitians, right?
We
These
have
things are.
discussed that, these patients do need to be medically optimized, whether they're
Yes.
diabetics, they're diabetes. You can't have an A1C of 10 and expect these grafts to heal, the same token
Exactly.
of vascular insufficiency. All of those things, need to be optimized. It's not that
Yes.
you put the grafts on and, it's going to be magic.
I'll be honest with you. It is like a lot of times it is like magic, to be honest, but just to protect yourself, these are things you should be doing as well. Because you're going to start applying these grafts and your volume's going to go up, numbers are going to go up. You want to protect yourself from the clinical side. Are we optimizing their nutrition? Are we optimizing their vascular status? Once you cover your ABCs, you're good to go. Going forward, the patient is going to do better. You're protected from your medical legal standpoint. Everybody's happy.
Dr. Jafar, this is Melissa. I'm the director of the clinical team.
Hi.
Perhaps I can have a call with you separate from this call and
Sure.
get kind of like a standard template. So when I'm teaching the new physicians that we onboard about
Sure.
biologics, I can kind of build this into our teaching method so they're
Absolutely.
better suited to apply biologics.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Okay.
Perfect.
And Melissa, I'll connect you as well. This is Michael Aquino. I know you have several agendas to go over here, so we'll jump. But what we can do is potentially schedule another call, Melissa. We'll put out your local LCDs for determination. I think that's very important. And we can also help you generate some protocols as well for new physicians and what you should be looking for.
Where are you guys in Ohio?
We are. We're
Which
loaded,
one?
we're located in a suburb of Cleveland.
Well, the corporate offices, you have folks on here from California, from New York, from Illinois, from New Jersey. I mean, you got them from all over.
Nice. I'm
Yep.
just saying, Ohio's a terrible place.
Yep.
I'm from the Detroit area, so we get similar weather. But I'm not too far. If you guys ever needed me to come spend like a couple days with you guys, kind of walk you through things, look at things just from like your EMR standpoint, I can always make myself available.
Well, yeah, so that I think it warrants a call. And actually that would be great if you could even spend a couple of days with myself and even my other clinical girls.
Sure, sure.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Well, Milton, Melissa, team, thank you so much for your time. We sincerely do appreciate it. And Milton, we'll follow back with you, and we'll speak to you later this evening for your second provider call.
Great. Thank you
Thank you
very
so
much.
much.
You guys have a great day.
Appreciate
Yep,
you all.
thank
Thank
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
So just a few other things to kind of piggyback on that discussion.
Are we leaving or are we staying in here?
No, you're leaving.
All right, bye-bye.
We've talked about certainly we've talked about biologics, and now we're introducing a number of different companies and things like that. I do want to make sure that I emphasize and reiterate that any sort of IVRs or any sort of questions from that standpoint should be sent to either Alana or Marilyn for the processing. The clinical education team is not really going to be responsible for any of that, nor do they have always the accurate and most up-to-date information to give you about that. So any of that information does need to pa be passed along to
Sorry, okay.
Alana or
I'm taking power, okay?
Marilyn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna step through. Sure, it's fine.
Dr.
Okay.
Angelo, I think we're hearing you're having another conversation.
Sorry.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is that once you have started application on a particular patient, you should see that out through with the same product, meaning you shouldn't go three or four applications with a particular product and then switch to a different. That will certainly be a red flag for the insurance companies and the auditors. So once you have started and committed with a particular product type, the duration of treatment should be consistent with that. So, if you are using Radiant products, then that's fine. Continue the Radiant products until conclusion, whether it's healing or whether you've exhausted your 10 applications, but don't mix and match. That's really all I wanted to emphasize about that.
And let me add that for those of you that have been dealing with Adam Smith, continue while you're using the Radiant products. But as soon as that's complete, do not reach out to Adam because he has nothing to do with Acesso or any other biologic company that we're going to be dealing with. And while Acesso does not have a Medicaid product, as they mentioned, we do have a few options for that in Ohio. We are using a company called Stability Biologics, who have a Medicaid. Right now, it's only approved in Ohio and in Maryland. And so, since we're only in Ohio, we're not in Maryland yet, that stays there. But I have come to an agreement with a company that does have a Medicaid product, at least for California. That we will be launching hopefully near term, and I'll be bringing that up when we have that finalized. So that's kind of, there's not a one size fits all in every state and in all situations. So, which is why we're going to have a few different companies to cover things. And to that end, we are interviewing for what we're calling a biologics coordinator, who will be someone who has some clinical perspective as well. You're not going to be necessarily a nurse or whatever, but we'll have some clinical background and be able to review charts and understand medical terminology. But they'll also, from the business side, be coordinating things. So, but until that happens, all Medicare, if you will, requests are going through Ilana Weisberg, who's our director of financial services. She's been dealing with that up till now. And Marilyn Schachter is handling the Medicaid side, which right now has only been Ohio so far. So as other states have Medicaid solutions, we will inform you.
Can I ask a question? It's Naomi Torgerson. For the Medicare patients, now that we're switching companies from Radiant to this new one we just heard from, is the coverage any different? Like, I have patients who were turned down for coverage for Radiant. I mean, is it worth resubmitting those patients now with this new company because the coverage is slightly different?
I don't know that the coverage is going to be all that different, but it's still, I mean, if anything has changed or it hasn't improved, I would. It's really the reason for the change is not as much the coverage as the scrutiny that legacy, the manufacturer has come under. And we just don't want to be tagged with that. They think they're going to come through fine. They claim that there won't be any issues, but just in case, we don't need to take that chance because sometimes these things blossom into bigger issues. But don't stop if you're in the middle with something, as Dr. Karamati mentioned. So I would try it. I would try to resubmit with...
Right. Okay, I will then. Thanks.
Any other questions about any of the things discussed so far? All right, I'm going to turn it over to Melissa. I know she has some things on her agenda to go over as well.
Okay, my agenda has changed slightly, or a lot actually, for this evening. I'm really not going to discuss MIPS. However, provider formularies. Over the last several months, I have had multiple owner operators and facilities reach out to me in multiple states stating the providers are not adhering to formularies. Please adhere to your formularies provided by the owner operator or individual facilities. We can get terminated or have a provider be requested to be replaced. I'm going to be reaching out. Some of you have already received formularies from owner operators or individual facilities. Your regional managers are in the process of getting formularies for me. In addition to that, I'm reinstituting yearly re-education and ongoing education at minimum, or it might be every 6 months, depending on how things shake out. So look for these updates. That's pretty much what I have. Between Dr. Karamati, Milt, and I, we will be reaching out to everybody individually to discuss the formulary concerns, issues with the operators. One of the biggest formulary issues that we've seen and the feedback we're getting is MetaHoney. MetaHoney is not on pretty much any formulary now, other than one. The only formulary that I know that it's on is on an Elderwood formulary. And that's an owner operator in New York. Pretty much MetaHoney has been eliminated from any formulary in the country. So if you are consistently using MetaHoney, you're going to have to explore other options. So MetaHoney's pretty much been taken off the table. I know that's what we're used to using and what we're routinely using, but we have to explore other options. That's why we're reinstituting some education. So yeah, MetaHoney is no longer an option. So I'm just throwing that out there. It's also not paid through Part B services either. So yeah, look for my emails, look for my phone calls. I'm going to be following up. You're going to be hearing more from me. If you guys, do you guys have any questions about formularies? If you do and you want to contact me privately, please do so. You know, I'm always available. I thank you for your hard work and your time. Yeah, please reach out.
I want to add one thing.
Sure.
You providers periodically do reach out to you or other members of your team about the biologics we talked about. Again, Melissa's not the person in charge of that. Don't do that. You know, she'll review things in the chart when they come up appropriately in treatments, but she is not the person to reach out to. As I mentioned, right now it's Alana in Maryland, and very soon, hopefully, there'll be a go-to person for the whole, you know, company for all products. So until that person, please use those two individuals.
Yes, I certainly am happy to answer any questions that you have about, you know, providing education. Dr. Karamati is actually the best person suited for questions. My team and I will continue to help provide education, but I don't order any of the products, and my team doesn't order any of the products.
Yeah, as always, I am more than happy to answer any questions. It's, you know, whether it's related to whether or not this you should try it on this patient or the actual application. So please really feel free to contact me, email, text, phone call. That's no problem at all. Any questions about anything else? Anything that's been brought up or discussed this evening? We are out of time, and I know we didn't get a chance to discuss the article for tonight. Hopefully everybody had a chance to look at it, but I will make sure that we do cover that in next month's meeting. So please hang on to the questions and article. We will certainly resend it out, but in the interest of time, I think we'll have to save that for next month's agenda. If there are no other questions, then I wish everybody a good rest of the evening. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.